It's recording.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us for our village board meeting. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Welcome, everyone. We will call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Green is excused. Trustee Sampson.
Here.
And Trustee Deutsch is excused. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt as presented.
Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? We have a motion to adopt the agenda in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. Sean, do you want to take 3A?
Sure. We're excited to announce that we've recently hired Cole Erickson to fill the open engineering tech position. Cole is a May 21 grad from Northeast Wisconsin Technical College, where he received an associate degree in civil engineering technology. He had previously worked for the Village of Bellevue, and would love to come over here and work in our engineering department.
Great. Welcome to Cole. Next announcement, Pooches and Pipes, Barktoberfest on September 10th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Green Isle Park. Bring your pooches and bring your fun, because on Saturday, September 10th, we'll have our pop-up dog park that we've had now five times, something like that. It's always been very successful, and Trevor promises to have some great weather. It is sponsored by Tuttletown, Badger State, Stillman, Hinterlands, and Baldy, in partnership with Somerville and Misfit Mutts. So thank you to everyone who's going to help make that a great event. Another announcement, I'd just like to wish the Village of Ashwaubenon a happy 150-year anniversary. They celebrated that this past week. Any other announcements? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 4. Public comment. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Mr. Matuszak.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Clarence Matuszak, 2680 South Webster. Surprisingly, I've got a couple of compliments. Observations. The one complaint about a contractor. By the way, you mentioned Ashwaubenon. Alloy's 150th is coming up in 2 years. You're going to mark that down somewhere.
Next year.
Next year.
Is it next year?
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to you about that. At the time of the 100th, we discovered that we were unsure when the first meeting was, what year it was. So maybe you want to research that before. I said, you don't want to make the same mistake.
I'm just basing it on the last
one. One compliment. I was going to email the village board members regarding the impact on employees with cost of living. And then it dawned on me here, I'm trying to play administrator again, but I'm not, so I called Brad and found out he already had the wheels of progress, but I liked your solution, with one exception. It's my understanding that Brad did not receive anything, and I kind of insist that he should, because he's as deserving as anybody else. He should just cut the check and give it to him. But anyhow, I like how you handle that, because you're not disrupting your salary classification system, and you are rewarding his the employees, I understand they were very surprised and very pleased, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Second thing, I like that you modified, I don't know if it was because of my suggestion or not, but you changed the closed session announcement the way I wanted to see it, where you get down to the several reasons you could use and you choose the one and you announce what that one is. I think that's very correct. I see. Then it comes to disappointment. Not one, there was board member and no staff member except Brad. I talked a little bit about my concerns regarding the speed and the intensity of the development, redevelopment. I also finally found out why I was behind. I knew what was going on. It's because those listening sessions were for the public. I was on my 5-week vacation at St. Vincent's. I wasn't here. So, but on that subject, I still strongly urge you to have a village-wide survey as to what their thoughts are versus yours, to see that you, because as you're proceeding, although with the exception of the total expense of the village hall conversion, what you've done I don't think is wrong or bad, but it's been expensive. And I hope you fully realize that the route you're taking, you're going to change the character of the village. And you've got to make sure that the villagers want that. Because if they want it, fine with me. But I think you have to take that into consideration. So I think a short village-wide survey should be enacted by mail. I have a complaint about, I don't know what that contractor doing with those little boxes. That's TDS or TDY or something. I think you should call them in to the village board, without the village board, to you, Brad, and take them to task, because they've left the impression that they're doing a great job, and in my opinion, they're doing a lousy job. And I see that on the internet, on that neighborhood website. They go ahead and they rip up people's lawns, and people don't know they're coming or what they're doing. One complaints that I went out to ask them, they didn't speak English. So I think you've got to straighten them out. In my own case, I've got one measurement to drink because I think they made a mistake and put that box on my property. And if they did, they're going to be involved in a little tussle because I have a little difficulty with large corporations coming in here and just pushing people around. And that includes their parent, which I guess is AT&T. And I have a different dispute with them as I find it resolved. So I think they got to take a look at that. In my own case, I came home one day, those three passes were long gone. Sat there for 2-3 weeks, they finally came back, kind of raked in through on some seed and some straw, went away, no word. What they should be doing is putting a door hanger on people, tell them what they do. They should have shown some documentation that they had the right to do that. Because in my case, I think they put it on my property rather than on the easement that's there. And they're just not treating people very well. I don't know what's going on. I think that's important. And then finally, this is a request or a plea, I guess. Do everything possible to hold the line on a budget. One thing that sticks in my craw is that subsidy for transportation that nobody uses. And I think you should take a very close look at them to see if you can abandon it, because it serves so few people. I don't know if you've got a recent report from them or not, but the transportation department, the last time they did, where the report was given to the board, it was costing the village $8 for every ride, for that dollar ride for the people that are using it, because it was church little usage by our residents. So that's what I realized. And the rest, I would hate to see you increase last year, which is the highest increase the village has ever had, to the best of my knowledge. And I've been here 54 years almost, I think, you know. The village is, what, 148 years old, 149 years old? So you got to do something. I don't know what. It's going to be doubly difficult this year with people that have the limits, and you've got the inflation pressure. So have a good time. I got to get the schedule from Julie so I might come up and listen and give you some static. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you, Clarence. Thanks for being here. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will close the public comment and move on to item number 5, presentation from Mike Mushinsky, Brown County Land and Water Conservation, East River Project.
Mike and I are going to do it together. Come on up, Mike.
Oh, it's a show.
I guess I'm going to start off with, it's amazing how fast you can move forward if you find the itch that people have. And as you see on this cover sheet of all the, and that's not everyone that's associated with, this is not a full representation of all those that are interested in cleaning up the East River and making improvements and creating a water trail. So with that, Mike was, I guess, briefed on this, but it's been in the back of his mind for a long time, and it just took a group of people, both residents, non-residents, to come together with the same goal in mind to get this thing rolling. And Mike has been a tremendous help for the group. He put together this presentation that went before Brown County, and we're successful in receiving $500,000 in funding. So with that, I'm going to let kind of Mike walk through it, put him on the spot.
Well, thanks. Mike Mushinsky, Brown County Land and Water Conservation Department. I'm the county conservationist, and we gave this presentation to Planning and Development with about 5 of us. So it's trimmed down a little bit from that, but like Brad said, it's been a really tremendous group effort.
Can you move closer to the mic, please?
Our citizen champions have been a great impetus to get this moving, so they're really interested in kayaking, and they're really interested in that East River, so that really pushed us in this direction to get this plan going. So
we're getting there.
Yeah, first slide. Okay, so what we're talking about is creating a habitat project in the water trail from Ledview Park downstream, basically north or downstream 3 miles. So that gets us to about Hoffman Road. So that is, when we inventory it, that's the area that's got the worst bank erosion, worst invasives, worst navigability issues, so we got to really focus on that portion in there. So we did inventory the whole thing, and you can see the pink and yellow dots downstream from G or Dickinson Road there, Ledgeview Park. That's the worst area of the east right there. So those banks are all sloughed in. There's a lot of erosion. There's a lot of invasives. It's basically a tangled mess in there. So so part of the habitat project is working to create that corridor. So we got to take all those trees out of that river, use them for habitat along the bank. We got to control those bank sloughing, probably with rock. We got to get all those invasives pulled out of there. We got to create some natural habitats back instead of those invasives. So buckthorn, frag, that's existing there now. We have to get that out of there, and then again control that bank erosion is going to be critical. So the whole thing was inventoried. So that first section that we're talking about on that map is about 3 miles, so that's really what we're focusing on with this phase, at least for the habitat project. And then from Hoffman Road to through Green Bay, there's about 7 miles, so that opens up a 10-mile kayaking corridor then. So if we look at some of the kayak launches too, we've talked about, there's 4 of them we're proposing here. One at Ledgeview Park, Wheezy Park, Osprey Point, one at Isaac Walton, and then another one down off Hoffman Road, potentially. So that would give us 4 kayak launches within that section then for people to access. So Again, and then along with the map here, the habitat projects too, you know, pollinators and natural areas, taking all those dead elm, removing those invasives, keeping those big oak trees in there, and just creating that nice habitat along that East River shoreline. So some of the, we've all seen that, all that severe erosion along the East River. And generally the way to control that is with rock riprap. So we would do as little as that as possible, but some of those sites are so severe, that's basically the only way to control that erosion is through rock. So invasive buckthorn and phragmites are prevalent there. And pollinators, so there's a lot of fallow areas that are just cool season grasses, so to turn those into pollinator plantings would be a great environmental benefit. So that's all encompassed in this plan, so that would be one of the things that we'll see come out of this. And a quick cost estimate, so with those kayak launches and all the habitat work, it's $900,000. I think we're probably a little shy on that. That's probably an underestimation of what we're looking at cost, but as Brad mentioned, we were successful at county board to get $500,000 through the ARPA fund. So our next step right now, we just had a call with the NRDA, so the trustee council for the Fox River paper mill settlement funds. We're talking with them, so they're very interested in providing habitat and launches and access for people. So that's our second round of funds, and I believe we had some Community Foundation has put some money, is going to put some money forward to this too. So we're at two and working on the third funding source to get this on the landscape.
Yeah. So one of the partners in this is Wellow, Natalie Bomstead, and so she put together this little bit of a summary of what we're trying to accomplish. And not only is it hopefully it someday turn the water from brown to more of a blue color, but also to provide recreational opportunities that are there. There are there, and it just has been neglected, for lack of a better term, and underutilized, obviously. When we were putting this stuff all together, I looked back into a plan that was commissioned or requested by the then town of Alloway, town of Tapir, and town of Bellevue. The three communities came together. They asked Brown County, and at the time it was Brown County and Green Bay Plan Commission, to write a East River plan. Within that East River plan, that was done in 1967. But one of the first paragraphs within that plan talks about 1921 was the first time it was documented that the East River has potentials, that there are opportunities along the East River for recreational and housing, just preserve a good chunk. So fast forward, under Clarence's regime, the village participated in the purchase of a lot of land, and I couldn't even tell you, a couple hundred acres, I believe.
Oh yeah.
Of grants that were written to buy the East River, Green Isle Park and several other locations. So they had taken that plan and started to implement it, and we're still doing that today. I mean, our last purchase of property along the East River was Wheezy Park, and again, those funds were purchased through the lost recreational funds through the PCB settlement. So we're taking advantage of funding that's available to make this reality of the East River being a recreational opportunity or a asset to the community rather than a detriment. So yeah, these are some of the things that Natalie had put together. And if you want to keep going, when Mike brought up the fact that there were some our community champions.
Citizen champions.
Citizen champions. Here's a picture of some of them. And it's interesting, a year ago, Trevor and I were presenting for the East River Resilience down in Green Isle. and three of those gentlemen were in attendance, and they ears perked up when we talked about creating a water trail, and they wanted to know more, and they have been doing their homework and are fabulous to work with. One does live in the village. The other two, one's in Bellevue and one's in De Pere, I believe.
I think so.
So, you know, it's just taking some residents that saw the same interest and saw the same potential to help this start to move forward. So Mike kind of indicated, and you can kind of scroll through, he kind of did some fun little facts.
You know. No one wants chocolate milk.
No. Okay. You know, there's been so many plans that have been written about on the East River for flooding, to invasives, to creating the water, more of an asset. So they did their homework and kind of put together some of this stuff. And I invited them here tonight, but I think they all have better things. I think they're kayaking somewhere. But one of the unique, I guess, little tidbits about the East River. There is a former Olympic silver medalist that, from our understanding, did a lot of paddling on the East River for some of her training, and she went to St. Matt's. So, in fact, she hangs up in the hallway of St. Matt's. So it's kind of unique. So there are a lot of opportunities, and we're not looking just for that 3-mile stretch, as Mike indicated, but we wanted to zero in on the most troublesome area, knowing that eventually we're going to move it all the way to where the Fox and the East River meet. There are a lot of opportunities along there for additional kayak and canoe launches. They're on public property. So the acquisition of land is next to not. Access is there. So you're looking at the facilities of the launch itself and maybe some parking. So I hope we gave a pretty good indication of what we're trying to do.
Yeah. What kind of timeline is it?
We probably got another year or more of planning, so I would hope in 2024 there'd be some activity. So yeah. we're still working on that, the extra funds.
Sure.
To make sure we got those in hand before we would start getting bids out and doing things. We want to make sure we got the whole thing funded and then go from there. So
okay.
Yeah.
So in terms of turning the water from chocolate milk to clear blue, what in the plan, it's my understanding a lot of that is due to farming and runoff and all of that. What will we do to...
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of initiatives with NRCS, the federal government, Brown County, working on the Lower Fox Demonstration Farms Network has been very successful. So if you look at cover crop and no-till, there's a lot more green out there that you'll see in the spring. So in the last few years, we've gone from 0 acres of cover crop in Brown County to in 2021, we had over 22,000. So
really?
We're seeing huge increases in farmers adopting cover crop, no-till, and a lot of that's happening in the Lower Fox. So it's a great start. We're not anywhere near seeing clear water, but
yep.
we're moving in that right direction, that we're seeing those changes out there,
which is
very, very positive. So
I saw in an email today that Senator Coles and Representative Kitchens applaud the Budget Committee action to release funds for programs along this.
Yep.
$1.8 million where they give farmers $50,000 each to do cover crops and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so the other part of the ARPA funding request was for cover crop and no-till, and we were successful at that also for producers in Brown County for the ARPA funds for cover crop no-till. So we did the water trail, plus we did cover crop no-till funds, knowing that we need clear water coming from upstream, downstream. So, yeah.
Great. Any questions?
Yeah, I got to ask a question. We do this on the urban stretch, and the farmers upstream and rural communities move to do more environmental stuff. But we've talked about this. How realistic is it to think there's going to be blue water, clear water? Because it's a clay watershed, and there's 100 years or 200 years or 10,000 years of clay. What's the hope that that'll wash out if you do this stuff to keep new stuff coming in, that it really could be Or is it always? It's always going to have a little clay color, I would think.
It's hard to say that it won't be not clay colored at some points throughout the year. But if we can reduce the flooding aspects and those big flushes, and even small reductions in phosphorus and sediment make a big difference in these water bodies. So as we're reducing, we should see more vegetation, again, less flooding, less bank erosion. So those changes are slow, but they are. We are seeing that happen, you know, throughout our watersheds where we're implementing. So, but you're right, it's a change. It's a slow change to get to where we want to go.
So trout, even if it's seasonal trout runs, but blue water and trout, that's the highly optimistic. But really, it's not. People think it's polluted. Right. And it's not really polluted, it's just sediment.
Sediment and phosphorus, yeah.
So phosphorus.
We spike netted for pike in here back in, 2012 or 2013. I mean, there's catfish, both channel and flathead. We caught rainbow trout, there's steelhead in there.
Clean water fish.
Yeah, in the spring.
Like clean water,
in the spring. Yeah, crappies, perch, muskies, walleyes, they're all in there in the spring. So, so they are making those migratory routes up and down, feeding, trying to spawn. You know, it's just in the summertime when we get low oxygen and stagnant and you see the phosphorus, that's when they're challenged. And they're not in there and as prevalent.
Yeah, so, and that's why that people don't want chocolate milk. That'll
right,
make all the difference.
But when I was out there with Tom and Steve, there were people kayaking. So I went out with them last year. There's people on the east kayaking with us. So we just happened to meet out there and they invited me and we went and there was other people that... People are using it, you know. People are kayaking on it and enjoying it for recreation, and so sometimes the water quality isn't great, but the environment around you is really, really nice. You can't believe you're in the city of Green Bay and in our communities, but you can't really believe that. So it's very nice. So
okay. just a couple of other points. Back in the mid 90s. The village participated in stream bank stabilization. So we did that, I think it was 4,300 linear feet of stream bank that we did from 93 through 96. So that's, again, another one of the participations that the village, or initiative that the village took on. And then last week, Chris and I were part of a presentation to the Nature Conservancy. They had all their trustees meet down at Green Isle for one of their meetings, and we walked around Green Isle talking about some of the things that the village has done. Stormwater detention ponds, six of them along the East River, to, you know, all of our stormwater management, our riprapping, purchasing a property. And while we were down there, I think there was, I don't know how many kayakers came through and canoeing came through. And so an endangered species bird flew by and they're all like, I didn't know what it was, but you know, it was just kind of unique to see that all come together. When you have a group such as the Nature Conservancy who you want their support in these projects, and when they're seeing it with their own eyes, I mean, they're from the Milwaukee, Ashland, Madison, I mean, they were all over the state. And they were very impressed of what the village has done. And I think that holds a lot of weight when we're applying for additional grants, because you can look to this committee or the conservancy to be a supporter of it. And then finally, next Thursday, Mike and I will be presenting down at Wheezy Park. I sent that out to everybody. Chris said he signed up for it. I don't know if he's bringing his fishing pole, but
probably.
So if you're available, we'll be on the East River next Thursday. Any other questions?
Is there much current in the river? So people that kayak, they kind of go down and back a ways, or how do they? And could you go all the way downtown?
Right now you can, yes.
Okay. Under the Mason Street bridge there?
Yep.
Okay. Turn around wherever and go back?
And that's the importance of having additional kayak launches that maybe you can have that drop off, and or what the hopes are that it encourages entrepreneurs, kayak rentals, maybe a pop-up eatery along there. Mike indicated East Hoffman Road being an ideal location because you got the Village Grill right there. you've got a within, you know, a paddle throw of the river to be able to stop and enjoy. So that's the importance of having these different markers and in and out for the people. And within the water trail itself, you would have some signage up to help with identifying what's going on. It's just like taking the hard surface, you're just on a soft surface.
Travel time to the Mason Street Bridge on the kayak.
Real quick on the economic development end, is there some model community when we talk about riverside businesses and things? Are you patterning this after some other community that has had luck with the reclamation?
Chris Clark and I were talking a little bit earlier. I believe it was Davenport, Iowa, or the Quad Cities, did a major undertaking of like $25 million. I mean, they took out some dams, and they did a lot of work. But, yeah, that's what they are looking at, is what are some of the economic impacts? I mean, people wanted to have access to the river, but they had all those obstructions in the way, and now they're seeing this influx of users.
Okay. There's examples out there. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions? Mike, thank you very much for being here, and thanks for taking care of the project. Mr. Lang, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we will close our presentation and move on to item 6, hearing regarding the abatement plan by Steve Miller regarding nuisance bridge structure located at 832 Dauphin. We will open the public hearing. Is there anyone here who would like to speak on that? Second time, does anyone want to speak for the public hearing? Third time. Hearing none, we will close our public hearing and move on to item 7, action regarding...
I guess I don't understand what that means. Oh. I'm Steve Miller.
Oh. Would you like to tell us about what's going on? Could you come up, sir?
Yeah.
We'll keep the hearing open. If you could give us your name and address, that would be great.
Steve Miller. The address is 847 Brookridge.
Thank you. So what's going on with the bridge?
Well, we had an agreement, and if I understand right, you're breaking the agreement?
Just talk to me, sir.
All right.
So?
Well, we had an agreement that I was going to put a fence up in front of the bridge, and I did that. Okay. Now I get a letter that they want this bridge torn down.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay, so you had an agreement with the village to put up a fence.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Anything else you want to say? We'll also discuss this in the next item. This is for anyone who wants to share, you know, what are your plans? If you want to talk about your plans for the future with the bridge, what's the purpose of the bridge? If you want to fill us in on the whole bridge thing.
Well, it's a walkway bridge. I spent 3 years building it. I have no desire to tear it down.
Okay.
I would like to get a permit to cut the curb out to fill... between the curb and the bridge.
Okay.
I did have some questions. Can I ask questions? Or?
You can.
All right.
Just ask, if you just direct your questions here and they'll... Sorry about that.
Well... I was going to ask him if about the agreement.
Okay.
I've filled my part, so I don't understand why we're here.
Okay. We'll bring that up in the next section. What else? What other questions do you have?
Have you received any complaints on this bridge?
Okay.
I can't talk directly to him.
No, unfortunately, we address the board because this is a public hearing.
All right.
And we will engage in the next section.
Okay. What do you mean by the next section?
There's a next agenda item to talk about the abatement plan. This is a public hearing so that anyone in the public who wants to talk about the bridge, whether it be good or bad or otherwise, has the opportunity to do so. So this is, we'll probably even talk more in the next agenda item. We don't take any action as this. We're simply taking input during the public hearing. And then we go into the next agenda item.
Can I speak in that one too?
Sure.
All right. I don't know.
Okay. Sorry for the confusion, or not the confusion, but the way we have to do things, but it's the way we have to do things.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. Why don't you have a seat, and then we'll go on to the next agenda item.
All right.
Anyone else in the audience who would like to speak at the public hearing? Hearing none, we will close the public hearing and move on to item number 7, action regarding the abatement plan by Steve Miller regarding nuisance bridge structure located at 832 Dauphin. Does anyone from staff want to give us a quick overview?
I did my best summarizing the history in the memo. For whatever reason, it's not loading right now, but
it's fine.
Essentially, staff came across this earlier this year, following up at an adjacent property, and we attempted to make contact with the property owner. We eventually did have a meeting with the property owner. He agreed to put up rope, closing off the bridge structure as a temporary fix while we work on a more permanent solution. When we went back to check if that was done, there was some string strung up. We spoke with our council. They instructed us that might not be adequate, and that the village should put up some barricades and clear some of the brush that was covering the entrance to the bridge, because there is a hole in the ground in front of the bridge. So we did that. We didn't hear anything from the property owner. We did send a letter notifying them of that this was a nuisance issue, and then we invited them to this meeting. I hadn't received any contact from the property owner after delivery of that letter. Last week, staff went back out to the site and did notice that, you have a picture, did notice that a gator fence structure was erected on one side of the bridge. But again, no contact has been made to the village hall. There's still the hole here in front of the bridge structure. This does go all the way underneath the bridge. So there is still a number of issues. If this is adequate, we haven't gone on the property to inspect. We're hoping to get permission from the property owner to do that. And then, you know, the other side that's accessible from Alloway Avenue too should be closed off. There's still some things that should be addressed, but happy to speak with the property owner outside of the meeting if the board feels like that's appropriate. But I'm looking for a little more direction. The intent of the letter is to get some action, some change, and I think if we have to draw this out through a legal process. That might be one extreme, but maybe there's something in between that we can work on together and figure out.
And the bridge is a nuisance. Why?
It's a safety hazard. It's an attractive nuisance. It did receive a permit from the DNR back in 1997. That permit expired before the bridge was completed. The voting permit expired before the bridge was completed. So it never received the final inspections needed. The bridge has deteriorated over the past 22 years, to the point where there are boards that are loose coming up, there's holes in front of the bridge. It's not a safe structure, and given its close proximity to the road, kids might go explore it. And so, really, we're just looking for some of these issues, safety issues, to be addressed.
Okay. Okay.
Those permits never expire.
Sir, have a seat, please. To his point, do the permits expire?
According to our records, there was a letter sent back in either 99 or 2000 notifying the property owner that the DNR permit expired and therefore the building permit expired.
Okay. Ultimately, what the village is looking to do is to secure the bridge in such a way so that it's not a hazard to maybe kids who are out there to the public, right?
Correct.
And he did put up a fence, and so there has been some effort made, obviously, and you're here this evening. Ultimately, the village wants it to be safe, and we want good communication to make sure that that gets done. Is that a fair statement?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Any questions for Trevor, anyone?
Where does the bridge go? Is it on total private property or?
The bridge is on private property.
Okay.
The right-of-way begins right around this area, right in front. Adjacent to this is Dauphin, and is the curb for Dauphin, the cul-de-sac. And then it goes across a creek bed that there's water there now. It's not a year-round creek. And then it goes over to this the other part of the parcel that then connects to Alloway Avenue. So,
A question for Trevor and maybe our attorney. You've used the phrase attractive nuisance, which is a legal term. It might be kind of a fluid legal term. But is that something that your department makes, or to use that term, does our attorney have to say it would qualify as an attractive nuisance?
It's defined in our ordinance of what it's attractive nuisance is a term I've been using tonight, but I think what our ordinance defines it as is a nuisance for public health and safety.
Which our attorney would have helped shape or would have approved. And even though it's entirely on private property with the attractive nuisance, the village obviously has a right to intervene and tell the property owner that's an attractive nuisance and you're in violation of our code.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, there's a number of things that we can look at that are identified in our ordinance, from safety or quality or structure to height over a drop-off such as this. So there's a few things that we did look at and we're able to come to that conclusion.
And I'm just thinking out loud, if somebody had a structure like this in their backyard and it was fenced off, that nobody, then the village doesn't have an interest, but this is an attractive nuisance because it is accessible just a couple feet off of a cul-de-sac, village cul-de-sac.
Right.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Trevor, would part of the issue, I went through when I was trying to get up to speed on this issue, that one of our codes, or it's section 3074G. I'll just read what I printed out. All buildings or structures so old, dilapidated, or out of repair as to be dangerous, unsafe, unsanitary, or otherwise fit for human use, that would be a category that this could be considered to fall into, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Well, seeing that Mr. Miller came to the meeting, and obviously there's been some miscommunication or lack of communication, some work being done, ultimately the village doesn't want anyone to get hurt, and we want to have safe structures. I would make a motion to refer back to staff and encourage Mr. Miller and our staff to sit down, talk through things, figure out what the right solution is, and take care of it.
Who would I talk to?
Trevor?
I prefer not to talk to him. To somebody else?
President Rafter?
Yep.
I don't know if we should be having
a discussion. Oh, you are correct. We have to take care of this first, and then I'll let you know. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Sampson. Any discussion? Mr. Harris?
I would hope that part of an immediate action would be at least a similar barrier be put up on the east side of that structure, similar to the west side. And I went and took a look at it last week, standing on the curb looking across the way. Without walking on it, you can't tell if it's safe to traverse, but if a barrier on the west side is put up, maybe there should be an immediate construction of one on the east side.
Okay. So you want to add that to the motion?
Yes. What is immediate? I don't know. Yeah. I think that would be something we suggest takes place.
We can suggest and encourage.
Yeah. I just don't want, like we're saying, we just don't want anyone to get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you bring up a good point. What I'd like to do is change the motion to refer back to staff and to have a resolution or an agreement in place to make all the fixes by the next village board meeting. Does that work for a second?
Mr. Sampson?
To have
an agreement between
a plan in place for the next village board.
An agreement as to time and all that.
I would second that motion as well.
Okay. We have a motion to refer back to staff and have a resolution agreed to by the next village board meeting in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. To answer Mr. Miller's question, Brad, can he call you?
He certainly can, but I will be gone for a while.
Okay. Trevor is our representative in that world, and if you go and talk to Brad, he's going to talk to Trevor. So I recommend that you guys just sit down and work it out in a respectful way. And if you have an issue, you can always come back.
Can I speak now?
I'll accept the motion to suspend the rules.
So moved.
Trustee Sampson, second.
Second.
Trustee Genrich, any discussion? We have a motion to suspend the rules in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up, sir.
Thank you. Barb was the building inspector at the time, who I started the project with.
Okay.
And then when it was finished, and I actually thought Barb was still working there, but there's a new building inspector. So I met up with him to get a permit to cut the curb out. And for some reason, he didn't like the design. Now, he has nothing to do with this, but for some reason, he's telling me that he doesn't like the design, and he refuses to give me a permit to cut the curb. So when you talk about this hole between the bridge, the reason the hole is there is I don't have a permit to fill that in like I was going to do.
Okay. Are you open to other solutions?
Well, I'd like to get a permit to cut the curb.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how else to fix it.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't know anything about any expiring, you know, with the DNR or anything else.
Okay.
Everything was set with me and Barb, and the bridge was built exactly to plan. And then, and it's built, and the building inspector refuses to give me a permit.
To cut the curb?
Right.
Okay.
President Rafter?
Yes.
If I may speak, I don't want to get into a back and forth in all sorts of different directions, but the question comes to mind, were you given other options in terms of cutting the curb? You said the design wasn't accepted. Were you given reasons or options for changing it around to make it turn out to be acceptable? I don't know enough about the details.
This is going to be hard to believe.
Sir, building inspector, please.
All right.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for, is if it was denied, I would hope that you were given some sort of feedback on what you could alter about the plan to make it acceptable. There may have been, you know, a perfectly legitimate reason that is escaping us for it to be denied. Don't know what that is,
yeah.
But I'd hope that you have some other options available for cutting out the curb and changing the design slightly. That's all I wanted to throw out there to see if that was an option. Thank you.
All right. The building inspector, there's something wrong with him. He wanted me to put 5-foot-high I-beams up for a walkway, which is absolutely crazy. The bridge, as it's built, has 8-inch tall, quarter-inch thick I-beams right now. That bridge has a capacity to, with 72,000 pounds, is what that bridge is rated at. I think that's more than enough for a walkway.
Okay.
And don't know enough to comment on the other.
To your comment earlier, if you noticed, I did drop off another section of fence, but I haven't installed it on the other side. But I already had plans to put another fence on the other side. I just didn't have time. I've been out of town.
Okay. Well, if you've got the other section of fence, and if you're interested in making it safe, I'm sure you don't want anyone to get hurt, right?
Right. And actually, this brings another fact, because with our first conversation, we were talking about replacing 6 boards. And all of a sudden, then I get a letter, you know, this bridge is terrible. Have you read the letter? I mean, this letter is nasty.
Okay.
There's no reason to write such a nasty letter on such a pristine built bridge. You won't find a bridge built better than that bridge anywhere.
Okay.
It's got 12-inch thick concrete posts. It's got footings, steel I-beams. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Okay. I will read the letter, by the way.
All right.
Okay, Steve. Well, our recommendation, strong recommendation, is to sit down with Trevor and just talk through what are the opportunities to make everyone happy, because I'm sure there is. No one wants people to get hurt, so let's just make sure that doesn't happen and that it fits. You know, we're government. We have rules, right?
Right.
And we have to follow the rules just like everyone else.
Right, no problem.
So if you could just sit down with Trevor.
Can I ask, can I just, have that all further correspondence be in writing?
Sure.
All right.
I would encourage you to do it in person, too, because writing letters back and forth might take a while. And people have to understand what's going on, right? So, but any decision, I would encourage you to make sure it's in writing.
All right.
Right? It will come back to us as a report, so it will be in writing. But yeah, and it's a good thing to ask for.
All right.
Okay, for everyone's sake. Sorry you're going through this. Sorry everyone's going through this. You've lived here for a long time.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I just want to know why, excuse me.
I'm sorry.
For disrespect. I'm a new member.
Relax.
I would like to know why they're on my property in the first place. This is not a walkway for the public. It has nothing to do with the public. I don't understand why, after 22, 25 years, that this is being brought up when it's our property. It's not for you to use. It's not for you to use. It's for us to use. It says no trespassing right on the bridge. Not that kids care. I know that. You know, I've had children too. But I just don't know why they want to destroy something that we worked hard for. And it's on our property, and it has nothing to do with people crossing it. I mean, it's not as if I'm going to Greenall Park and crossing their little bridge, because everybody can do that. But nobody has a right to be on my property crossing that bridge. And if they get on the property from Alloway, they're really on the property, because that bridge is really far away from Alloway Avenue. It's not near Alloway Avenue whatsoever. It's just over that creek.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Oh, one other point. I did have steel aircraft cable previously. So, I mean, first you'd see the no trespassing signs, and then you'd either have to climb over or climb under the cables. So, you know, you kind of had to work for it.
Yep.
It's not like I just, you know, left this wide open.
Sure.
And you can't tell, but the boards are 2-inch thick oak, which is just incredibly strong. It's no comparison to pine. And I know you can take a look at pictures, and there will be small holes. But if you look, there's 7 supports underneath these boards. So if by chance you were to fall through with your foot, you wouldn't go very far. You know, it's not as dangerous as it looks. It's a very, very sturdy bridge.
Okay.
And if I don't know if you ever worked with oak, but it's really strong.
Not a woodworker.
Well, it's like iron. Believe me, you can have a 3/4-inch piece of oak, and you can't break it. You know, pine, you can put your fist through it.
Okay, well, I hope that we come to a good resolution and everyone's happy. But he's the guy, and I'm sure together you guys can figure it out.
All right.
Okay? We just want to be safe. You want to be safe. If we're all going for the same goal, I think that's a good thing. Fair enough?
All right.
Okay. I thank you very much for being here, Mr. Miller. Thank you for being here.
And I'd like to thank the board, too.
Our pleasure. Hope to see everyone smiling next time we see you.
All right.
Move to return to regular order.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 8, continuation of 0.5% Brown County sales tax. The Brown County Board of Supervisors at tomorrow's meeting will be voting or discussing and potentially voting on whether or not to continue the 0.5% sales tax that started out with the Stadium District. And the Administrative Committee, I believe it is, has made the recommendation to do so. And I brought it up here because I've seen and read how much money that 0.5% sales tax has saved the taxpayers of Brown County in terms of debt reduction, in terms of being able to do more roads and more buildings. And in the next several years, we are going to have a major project in Alloway that's a county project, which is the reconstruction of Webster Avenue, which will be somewhere in the tune of maybe $15 million. So I wanted to bring it up here today, tonight, in hopes that my fellow board members would agree with me to support the continuation. We're not doing a resolution. I'm just giving guidance from the village board to our elected officials at the county level. So I would like to make a motion that the Village Board of the Village of Alloway support the continuation of the 4.5% sales tax in Brown County.
So, did you say 4.5?
No, I meant 0.5 if I okay. said 4.5. The 10.5. No, the 0.5%. I've talked to a lot of people who think it just makes sense, and I agree.
Is there a... Are you looking for a second? Or do we have
I am looking for a second.
Okay. I will second that.
Trustee Sampson, any discussion? Mr. Genrich.
Is there a sunset clause with that, or is it just...
There is.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but there is a sunset clause to either when they get down to a certain level of debt or eliminating the debt. But there is a sunset clause, as I understand it.
I believe there was either a 6 or 7 year established time frame at which point they'd have enough money to pay off the bonds, okay. for lack of better words. So there is a pre-established date.
Yeah.
I would be in favor of something similar if we get more details behind it, with just a nebulous continuation of the sales tax without a little more definition from the county on how it would be used, what we would be able to give to the residents of the county in exchange for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would need a little bit more information, or I would personally, mm-hmm. in order to wholeheartedly support it. I like the concept of how it was put into place for it currently, mm-hmm. but in terms of a blanket extension, I'm a little hesitant in terms of something like that.
Okay, I know it's to be used for capital projects and debt reduction. But yeah, that's fair enough. When you take a look at rising costs and inflation and costs coming down to the village level from state and county level, it's going, ultimately, if we have to borrow, it's coming from our taxpayers, right? And the sales tax at least spreads that out to not only property tax owners, but anyone who lives and buys anything in Brown County, including people who come up for Packer games and everyone else. So the reason for my support is we have to fund all these projects anyway, ultimately. And it seems to be a very cost-effective way to do it, at least on behalf of our residents.
So the administrative committee meets tomorrow, did you say?
Yes. No, the board. The administrative board. Committee has met, and they are recommending approval.
To the board. Okay.
As I understand it. The board meeting is tomorrow night.
Do we know what kind of conditions they've, or things, or what guidelines they've set around extending it?
It's a good point. I don't.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Any other discussion?
Just so I can be on the record, I sometimes get frustrated with this type of stuff because it's for all the reasons that were just said. When's it end? What are the conditions of it? What's yep. happening? So we're moving forward to approve something that we don't have all the facts on, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, it seems to me like a 0.5% sales tax is really little unless you're buying a car, unless you're buying some of the bigger ticket items.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's a little bit of a reflection of our officials not being fiscally responsible with the budgets that they have, that they want to load it up on the back end. So it frustrates me.
Okay.
And I think the transition from the stadium tax to continue it has done well, I think, with the capital project, the rest center, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, going forward, I'm not so sure that we know enough to, give our all, probably do, I mean, it's probably a good thing, but I'm not sure I want to vote on it.
Well, it's a good point. With that being said, I will take back my motion. Just until further information. I'm going to go to the meeting and speak in support of it. But.
Okay, if there's hesitancy, I have no hesitancy, because I think how many counties out of 72 in Wisconsin have that extra half percent? It's a great majority. And if we're one of the top five tourism counties and one of the top five counties as far as people from the UP coming down and spending their major purchase money here, we're a net winner. And as far as are they spending it wisely, I think that's covered under the existing agreement or covenant we have with the taxpayer that every dollar is going to be spent wisely. So I don't have hesitancy. But you're talking about getting endorsement of the board to talk to, let's say, our two, Alloway's two geographic representatives on the county board and yep. urge them to support it.
Yep.
Maybe the county executive you yep. contact. And, yeah, I'm not sure you need them. You know, if there's hesitancy, if there are people on the board who want to know a little more,
yep.
I guess I do too, but I think I'm guessing.
Yep.
And whether it's, you know, the sales tax, there's pretty good thinking that we put too much on the property tax now. And the League of Municipalities is looking at ways, Wisconsin is kind of backwards in that respect, as much as we load up the property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And sales tax is about, you know, wheel taxes, sales taxes. Well, we already have a sales tax, 5%, which isn't among the highest in the country. Some have less, some have more. But if this mm-hmm. is a way for the counties to claim a little bit.
Okay.
So, no, with hesitancy, I will withdraw my second.
Okay. And thank you. That was a good conversation. I brought it to the board because I think it's important that things that are voted on at a county level, we have an opportunity to discuss here. Right, and we don't have authority to say yes or no to it, but it's more of guidance. And I think this discussion provides guidance, right? And I'm good with that. I'm good with sharing that.
Yeah. One more thing, and to pin down the county executive or the county board to get more specific on what are you going to do with that? If we're talking about doing big development at the former prison site someday and being a retail generator, well, should we be rewarded, or is this just it gets lost in what the county is doing? I don't know. And you're right. Like we should You're right. We should have that answer.
Okay. Very good. Motion withdrawn. But good discussion. Okay. Moving on. Item number 9, action regarding engineering services for 2023 street and utility reconstruction project. Mr. James.
Thank you. At the last village board meeting, I had brought to you proposals from consultants that had interest in the design and preparation of plans for next year's street reconstruct project. At that meeting, the village board had selected R.A. Smith to engineer and prepare plans for next year's project. They have since put together a contract. The contract is in your packet tonight. Their work includes the survey of the four streets, the design, the preparation of plans, assistance with writing of the specs, putting together a cost estimate, bid tab, and a couple meetings. Christina has reviewed the agreement. She had provided comments, which I've provided to R.A. Smith. They have addressed those comments in their entirety. Tonight I'm looking for your approval to move ahead with R.A. Smith ultimately to accept the contract that you were presented with tonight.
Do I have a motion on this item?
I would move to approve.
Trustee Genrich, do I have a second?
I would second.
Trustee Atwood, any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 10, action regarding noise variance permit request from Austin Lemberger to allow music at 337 Coolidge Street for birthday slash end of summer celebration from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. on September 16th of 2022. Deputy Vogel, in his report, recommended approval. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Atwood, do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Harris, any discussion? We have a motion to approve the noise variance and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 11, report 2022 construction project update.
Earlier this year, we had bid all three projects, street resurfacing project, which had included eight street projects, 14-inch water main repair project north of 172, and the Doty Safe Up the School sidewalk project. The street resurfacing project has been completed, as well as the 14-inch water main project. The work on the Doty Safe Up the School project is well on its way. Sidewalk has been constructed. Contractor has started the landscape efforts with the hope of having the project completed by the start of school this year. There are two completion dates that were set for the contract. September 2nd was set for the work along Longwood Avenue, and September 9th was set for the work along East River Drive. Hoping that within the next couple of weeks this project has been completed and kids are using it to safely walk to school.
Very good. Any questions?
Are we, Sean, are we on track? I know this was put together a couple weeks ago. Are we on track with East River and Longview in terms of their concrete installation?
Yeah, the concrete has been placed.
Okay.
Landscape restoration will start as soon as tomorrow.
Perfect. Thank you.
It's looking great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was impressed. It was one of our earliest completions. You know, this is really good.
It's gone a little bit smoother than the Webster Safe Up the School project.
Good job.
And I'm on track for first day of school.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on. Item 12, report on Green Avenue Local Road Improvement Grant Agreement.
I'm excited to announce that we have received a local road improvement grant in the amount of $400,000 to improve Green Avenue from Libel to East River Drive. We were made aware of this by the state April of this year. We had applied for this grant late last year, and it was pretty competitive. We're happy to get the $400,000 and put that to good use. Tentatively speaking, have looked at the CIP to find out or figure out how best to insert this project into our capital improvement plan. Talked to the Public Works Committee about that, which I haven't done, but I will. And I'm thinking that the 2025 time frame would work best to reconstruct Green Avenue. 2024, we'll be reconstructing Libel Street from 172 North to Alloway Avenue, and from Alloway Avenue North to Cull, we'll be rehabilitating Libel. So the year after that, I think it would make sense to reconstruct Green. The application that I had submitted for the grant had included a rapid flashing beacon at the intersection of Green and Webster Avenue as well. So with the reconstruction project, we have also proposed sidewalk on the south side of Libel to fill in an existing gap to have continuous walk from Webster Avenue to Green Elm Park. So this is just a report to let you know that we were fortunate to get a grant, and we'll get started probably in the near future, I'll probably get out a brief RFP to look to hire an engineer to help get started on this project.
So you have to use $400,000 on the 22-23 time frame?
Sunset date on this is June 27th, so we have some time.
Of 23?
We have up until June
30th.
June 2027.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
You can safely walk.
Any questions? Okie doke. I thank you, sir. Item number 13. Do any of my fellow board members want something on a future agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 14. Do I have a motion to convene in the closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties and investing of public funds or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session, specifically the developer's agreement of 2222 Riverside Drive?
So moved.
Trustee Sampson.
Second.
Trustee Genrich. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
Session under Wisconsin Statute 1985-2 to take possible action on items in closed session. Trustee Harris.
I'll move.
Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? We are in open session. Are we on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are in open session, and there is nothing to report, so I will accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Trustee Genrich, seconded by?
I'll second that.
Trustee Sampson, any discussion? We have a motion to adjourn in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I thank you one and all. Have a great night.
For a future agenda item, I'm going to toss out that we consider...